Well, this research, which looks into the trends of sexual violence in the capital, Khartoum, since the beginning of the conflict through to February this year, is basically primarily based on interviews with service providers. So with doctors, psychologists, lawyers, but also members of what are called the local emergency response rooms, which are basically local volunteers, some of the medical workers who are trying to respond to the massive needs of the civilian population in Sudan right now. Speaking to them, we basically looked into what sort of cases, what survivors of sexual violence were coming forward to them, what were they telling them about the sort of abuses they had faced, but also what were the medical and psychosocial needs that the survivors were showing or were asking for. And the findings are really quite devastating. What we find was that the rapid support forces in particular, who controlled most of the parts of Khartoum and also its two sister cities, committed widespread sexual violence against women and girls. And this is both rape, and also gang rape. We also found that the RSF were forcing women, but also girls, into marriage.
What came out from your research is some of the recommendations, and one recommendation that caught my eye, Human Rights Watch is asking for deployment of intervention force, UN intervention force in Khartoum. How possible is that?
Well, we've been calling for the deployment of a civilian protection mission to Sudan for several months now. We first made the call when we released a report looking into ethnic cleansing in West Darfur State back in April, and we have continued to call for this. It's very clear from our research in Darfur, now this new research in Khartoum, that nowhere is safe for civilians right now in Sudan. And what's also clear is there has been a complete protection vacuum, which has been left basically going back several years to when the Security Council decided to withdraw the AU-UN peacekeeping forces from Darfur. It's very clear that decision was premature. But even last year, when the Security Council decided to follow the decision by the Sudanese Armed Forces allied officials, who called for the end of the UN political mission. Now, that political mission wasn't a peacekeeping force, but it did contain important mandate on issues around monitoring of protection of civilian issues. So right now we have nothing in its place. And so what we're calling for is for the UN. Now, there has been a UN Security Council resolution which has called on the Secretary General to come up with a civilian protection plan for Sudan. We also know that the AU Peace and Security Council has called for a similar plan. So what we're saying is these two bodies need to work together, and states now need to support and roll out a plan to ensure there are civilian protection forces on the ground in Sudan, because the needs are undoubtedly there.
Talk to me about what you are hearing from your contacts on the ground on what is happening in areas controlled by Sudan Armed Forces, because it appears like your report focused more on the alleged atrocities committed by RSF. What about areas where the Sudan Army is in full control?
Well, what we did find was that when the Sudanese Armed Forces retook control of Omdurman, for example, one of the sister cities of Khartoum, we started to receive reports of an uptake in cases of sexual violence, including gang rape by the Sudanese Armed Forces. I mean, what we also describe in this report is the impact of what is a de facto blockade imposed by the Sudanese Armed Forces on all areas of Khartoum, which are controlled by the RSF. So what that means is there has been only a trickle of aid, including medical supplies, being allowed into the capital. So these are millions of people who are cut off from assistance because of the policies of the Sudanese Armed Forces. So the conduct of both warring parties is basically impeding civilians, and these are violations of international humanitarian law. What we also found was that both parties are attacking medical workers and are attacking local responders as well. which are and which do amount to war crimes.
Talk to me about the level of intervention in Sudan. Since April 15 last year, aid agencies, the United Nations Security Council, human rights watchdogs like you have been calling on the international community to do something. How would you describe the level of intervention to put an end to these atrocities that are going unabated?
The efforts by the international and regional community were, I mean, in many ways, largely inexistent. We saw a bit of an increase, I would say, in attention to Sudan at the one-year anniversary, both with the holding of humanitarian conferences to increase the humanitarian funding, because it is willfully underfunded. We've seen also, as I mentioned earlier, a bit more, I would say, concrete calls at the level of the Security Council and the AU Peace and Security Council on critical issues around protection of civilians and human rights abuses. But we've really not seen Sudan at any point being given the sort of attention and political focus which is necessary to halting the horrific abuses which we continue to document to date.